views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Go Andrew News Talk Show.
Tuesday, December 16th, 2014, 107. Since being in the YNDS studio, currently airing on Itcher Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best After Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and audio graded. www.yoandrewntf.com. For more information, tweet me at AndrewTweetGeo. Email us, spell it correctly, yoandrew@yoandrewntf.com. Facebook.com, like us, Yo Andrew News Talk Show, in parentheses, radio show. Don't be left behind. You're listening to the best of 2014 of the Yo Andrew News Talk Show, and we are going to give you the two best interviews we had. Hope you'll be listening. Third segment, one of our favorites of 2014, I was speaking to my mom and I said, does it feel like Christmas is a week away? She said no, I said no too. I don't think it is. And then it's going to hit you. When you least expect it, oh great. Oh no, it's Christmas. Did I get all the right ingredients for the recipe? Did I get all the presents wrapped? Did I forget a family member? Where am I going? Am I home? Am I going to this or that house? You start doing your last minute, and you don't do it intentionally. You just feel, oh, it feels like Christmas to me now. I think I should start moving a little forward. And for all of those who are celebrating Hanukkah the first night, we here on the program wish you a happy Hanukkah. And again, we hope that through the 8 days you'll be lighting the candles, you'll be listening to us, the Andrew News Talk Show. On our replay times on Transformation Talk Radio, you can catch on www.yoandrewnts.com. My father's spectating in the studio as always. Well, now my mom is at the moment. I'm your host, Yo Andrew. Welcome to the program. We have been speaking to guests for years, and we love to. Because what we feel what guests do is give you an in-depth conversation on the issue we are speaking about, bringing out to you. And I have to say, we spoke to many this year, yet two spot us. Two came and went, and we said these are my favorites of 2014. And when we spoke to Will Finn, and by the way, if you want to get behind the scenes, this was a pre-recorded interview, meaning we recorded this video in the daytime and queued it for you live at night. He was driving to work in his car in Los Angeles when we spoke to him. He is the director of Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, and a director and animator for many of our favorites in the 90s and even 80s. I said, wow, we got this guy. Love to see you behind the scenes on how you direct a Disney movie or an animation movie in general. This was broadcasted on May 6, 2014. Here is one out of two of my favorite interviews. I'm 2014. So this upcoming Friday, if you want to go and see a movie with the children or your family, one movie that's coming out that really caught my interest is Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. And joining me on my program, really happy that he's taking out his time to come out and be on the program. He was artistic supervisor for the story of the movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, supervising animator for the character Iago for the movie Aladdin, supervising animator for the character Cogsworth of the movie Beauty and the Beast, and one of the additional story writers for the movie Pocahontas. All my favorite movies, all from the 90s. Great movies, and we're still watching them today. He is now the director of the movie Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, coming out this Friday into theaters near you. His name is Will Finn, and he is on my phone line. Will, welcome to the O. Andrew News Talk Show.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and on behalf of Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return.
Well, first I want to say the movies you've been a part of is part of my childhood. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Pocahontas, Aladdin, probably one of the greatest children's movies of all time. And I'm so glad that you are a part of that. But now you're a part of the brand new movie Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, coming out this Friday, and you're the director. Is this your first time directing a movie like this?
No, I've been directing on different films for DreamWorks and Disney and now for Summertime Entertainment for on and off for about the last 15 years or so. I directed this movie in tandem with Daniel St. Pierre, who is also an ex-Disney colleague, and he came out of the art direction, production design, and visual development department at Disney, and he developed the deep canvas for Tarzan, the Disney movie Tarzan, and won awards for that. So Dan and I directed this movie together, and it was a very exciting challenge because Oz is such a long-lived property, and people have a lot of expectations coming to it, and you don't want to let them down.
So when the audience comes out this Friday to see this film, and by the way, The Wizard of Oz, the story itself is going to be 75 years old very soon, what is the audience going to expect from this movie? Because they all already know the old story of The Wizard of Oz back in the 1930s, and we've just seen a recent one with James Franco and Mila Kunis. So what is the audience going to expect from this version of The Wizard of Oz?
Well, the interesting thing is we've got a really great property in that this story is by the great-grandson of the original author of the book Wizard of Oz, which actually came out in 1900. It was, you know, very much the 20th century fairy tale from America. And the original author, L. Frank Baum, wrote about a dozen more sequels. And his great-grandson has started writing some sequels as well. And this Dorothy of Oz was his first book in this series. I think it came out about 18 years ago. And the Carroll brothers at Summertime Entertainment were very smart to grab the rights to that. Because Oz is now more or less a public domain property, so to speak. But when you have a proprietary story written by the great-grandson of the original author, you have something very, very special to work with.
Now, who came up with the idea to take this original story and make it a movie? And not just a movie, an animation for children around the country to watch.
Ryan Carroll and Roland Carroll, the Carroll brothers, are a couple of gentlemen who have been in the independent live-action movie market for years. They came out of Chicago, and they came out of a theatrical background and started working in film some years back. But their passion has always been to do something in animation for the family market. And I give them a lot of credit for pulling this together. It's making animation in this day and age is difficult, and coming out with an independent company against Disney and Pixar and all these big studios, Blue Sky, DreamWorks. There's a lot of competition out there, but it can be done. A little company called Illumination had a little thing called Despicable Me that came out and became a big hit now. And the Carroll brothers are working from more or less a similar model and trying to do that with these Oz stories.
Right now we are speaking with Will Finn. He is the director of the movie Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, coming out this Friday into theaters. It's so funny when you say that the movies that are being created today are more difficult because of the way animation looks and technology and even more and more competition. And it's funny because in my notes, my next question is this. You have done many different characters and many different stories in the past. And we already mentioned The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Aladdin, Pocahontas, Beauty and the Beast, classics of the 90s and children who are young and are being born or watching those today. What are the obstacles that you've taken to create this type of movie? Because when you look at this movie, it's not very 2D anymore. It's not now. Everything's 3D and everything just looks so real. So what are the obstacles that you had to take when creating this type of movie and not just creating it, directing it?
Well, it's incredibly labor intensive to make animation. It always was because, you know, you are basically making a movie one frame at a time, and it's a huge task. Drawing that was a very 20th century approach. Now that we have digital artwork and can make individual pictures that have photorealistic lighting and texture and all of that, it adds another level of detail to the animation, but it also increases the audience's expectation as well. And as the evolution of computer animation came out of Pixar in the mid-1990s, and then has been exploited by a lot of other recent companies, and the software that used to be proprietary to a few companies, now you can buy and make your own film in any studio. The software is always evolving, so you're kind of constant. And animation takes a long time to do. So on the one hand, we have the great fortune of coming in at a time when you can, the studio that did the animation, Prana, they have a lot of background in animation already, and they've done a lot of great stuff. And but they also, the challenge is that the technology is constantly changing and growing. So we had to grow along with that.
And what I always tell people is the children's movies we saw in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, today, even though it might look different, it's still giving out the same message. And I think it's great what you and your team has been doing is there are so many companies now who try to change everything, who try to say, well, that's the old and this is the new. And sometimes it doesn't come out the way we want it. But when it comes to children's movies, I think they're getting better. I see Wreck-It Ralph, and I see, like you mentioned, Despicable Me, and of course the very popular Shrek series. It's amazing what those movies have done, and even remakes of old stories like Tangled and Romeo and Juliet, movies that, I mean, I'm 24, I'm still a young guy, but there are times when I'm sitting there on my couch taking a break, if it's from radio or from jobs that I'm doing, and I watch these movies, and these movies have just gotten better and better. And I'm glad that the technology has brought in this brand new series of stories, right, Will?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree. I think you know, one of the things that was frustrating is animation stagnated. One of the things that was frustrating for me as a kid is that animation was very stagnant when I got into it. If you looked at the film, the credits to a movie from the early 1980s, it was the same group of people and the same technology that had been doing it since the late 40s. The reason for that had everything to do with budgets lowering and, you know, what the marketplace was like coming up through the 60s and 70s. Digitization, computerization has changed all that, and it's been all to the positive. What it's done is it brought the audience back to animation in a way that people kind of, there was a stigma to it when I got into animation in the 80s. People didn't want to go see an animated movie. One of the first things I worked on was a Don Bluth movie called The Secret of NIMH, and at the time, it was the most advanced animated movie that had been made in decades, but there just wasn't an audience for it yet. unfortunately, one of the people who saw that movie was Steven Spielberg, and he put the sequel, he put the movie American Tail right into production with Don Bluth, who had made The Secret Man. And that was one of the things that started bringing back the audience, even in the 80s. But then when Pixar developed the Render Man, the computer animation software, if you will, that made Toy Story possible, that was a total game changer. And I don't think a lot of people saw it coming because, you know, it just people couldn't conceive, well, how do you make a picture with a computer? And once that became the standard, then everybody had to catch up.
Right now we are speaking with Will Finn. He is the director of the movie Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, coming out this Friday into theaters. We definitely want you to go and see it. Will, I want to ask you one more question before we let you go. You have directed such a stellar cast. The singer who's playing Dorothy is Lea Michele from Glee. The Scarecrow is played by Dan Aykroyd. The Tin Man by Kelsey Grammer. Jim Belushi, Carolee Lyon. Really a stellar cast from the old generation of movies and acting, and even from the new ones. How did it feel to be working with such an awesome cast, playing voices of these classical characters?
Well, it's a dream cast. And you know, the Lea Michele, and like you say, it's a great mix of people with very classic reputations and some rising new stars. Lea Michele is just brilliant to work with. She's a total pro. She inhabits the Dorothy role, and she's so amazing that there are some times when I just couldn't believe that I was in the room with someone that talented and somebody that bright who has so much ahead of them. And then turn around in the next day to be working with the Dan Aykroyds and the Kelsey Grammers and people like that. Martin Short is the villain in this movie. He plays an evil jester. And I don't think there is any one comic actor I admire more than Martin Short over the years I've been watching him in SCTV and in the movies. And he's just a total pro. He sings, he dances, he's funny. And in this movie, he actually gets to be a little bit scary, too, which I loved. And, you know, they're all just total pros. Amazing, amazing talents. I also want to shout out to Megan Hilty, who plays the Princess of China County. She is an amazing actress, an amazing singer. She was in the series Smash last year. The original stage version of Wicked, and also Hugh Dancy, who plays her love interest, Marshall Mallow, just a phenomenal actor. He's really, really, his instincts are brilliant. And, you know, there are times, one of the things that I love about working with actors like this, there's really all you have to do is occasionally answer a question. If they've all seen the storyboards and read the scripts, they just bring it to life in an amazingly professional and delightful way. We also have a guest voice in there, Brian Blessed, who's just one of the great English stage and screen actors. He plays a character called Judge Jawbreaker in Candy Country, and working with him was a total dream. He goes all the way back to the series I, Claudius on PBS and from the BBC in the 80s, and he's someone I've always wanted to work with. And Dan St. Pierre suggested him as for the voice, and we had a fantastic session with him when we were recording.
What a cast. What a movie. This Friday, Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return is coming into theaters, and we are speaking with director Will Finn. Will, thanks for coming on the program. I just want to say, big fan of your work, and you really put impact on my childhood and on my cousins, and children to come. I mean, children's movies, animation, I think it's so important. The ages from 1 to 9, while their brain's developing, they want to see these movies. And it's great that you're creating a brand new nostalgia for them 20, 30 years to come. Will, and also, thanks for coming on the program, taking your time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Will, have a good one. Good luck this Friday on the movie and future projects to come.
Thank you.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrew.nt.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
Taking a picture is easy, and we love to know where you are listening. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS. Always on the run? We know how you feel. Listen to Yo Andrew on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or Android tablets. Go to www.yoandrewnts.com for more info.
Dreidel, dreidel.
Light the candle.
Ooh, light the candle.
Yes.
Ooh, spin the dreidel.
Spin the dreidel.
I have a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, now dreidel.
Best of 2014 is almost done with, I have to say. What a year. A lot of new experiences. What? I'm speechless. I'm nervous. No. We made some great choices. We made some horrible choices. We spoke with some very good guests. We didn't speak to many good guests. It happens. Yeah, that's life. And we haven't gave up one bit. And with the two guests we spoke to that we call our favorite of 2014, I have to say, well done. And I have to say thank you, the audience, for sticking by us this whole year, this whole time. Our favorite interview was with Will Finn, the director of Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Yet there was another interview. And that was with former WWE superstar Ezekiel Jackson. And when we were able to reach out to his manager, and his manager said, he'll get back to you if he wants to do an interview. And he did. And we were so excited about it. I said, wow, I can't believe it. My first WWE superstar in my career I got to speak to. And all my friends were ecstatic about it. And he was able to air on our 100th show. And it was a great interview. We had a blast. And I was so happy that he was able to come on. And right now he's doing his independent tour. This interview was from October 21st. 2014. It was our 100th show, and it was our third interview on the program. Former WWE superstar Ezekiel Jackson. Joining me here on the program, he is a professional wrestler best known for his time in WWE, working under the ring name Ezekiel Jackson. He is recognized by WWE as the final ECW champion, if you're in that WWE ECW. And if you're not, you might be looking at Rhino as the final ECW. Intercontinental champion one time. Also a bodybuilder. They call him Big Rick. We'll call him Ezekiel Jackson on this program. Ezekiel, thanks for being with us. Welcome to the program.
What's up, man? How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Very good to hear. I want to begin the conversation with this first question. And we do see that you are beginning an independent run, and we're going to get to that later on in the conversation. But the question is, how did you get into the WWE? We see so many people around the country try to get in, and we see the company has expanded the past several years. How'd you do it? How'd you get in there?
I started training in Brooklyn in 2000, and I relocated to LA in 2005. And within the time, I guess, I reached out to UPW because, you know, UPW's website had seen, they had Lisa Verone. They had all these different people that came through UPW. And I figured that might be a good route to go to try to see if there's a connection to WWE. They reached out back to me and said, hey, we got a show coming up. We'd love to meet you. So I went out and met up with Rick Bassman and this guy, Anthony Rosas. And after that, they called me maybe a couple months later and said, hey, we got this thing we were doing where at that time, I think they were trying to get the WWE to use them as a, you know, sort of a Deep South OVW kind of thing. So I think they were working on that. And within 2 months of doing that, Bill DeMar came out, saw a bunch of us, and literally maybe 4 months after that, I got a call and said, hey, we want you to come to OVW to try out. And I went for a week and got a call a week later saying they're going to sign me. So it was a long process of in New York for about 7 years of training, 5-6 years of training before I got signed. But once I started with UPW, it came really fast.
We do see that you are a bodybuilder. Has it ever been your intentions to be a WWE superstar? For some of us, we do know, we have to admit it, it is scripted, it's not real. So, has it ever really been your intention to go into the company, or it just kind of landed on your lap? It just came about?
I was a fan from the age of 8, and I never thought I was going to be a big guy. I always, you know, if you see the rest of my family, I'm the oddity of the family. So I got into bodybuilding in college, but before that I wanted to wrestle, but my mom basically was like, we'd love for you to go to college. You'd be the first one to graduate college. And I did that. And after I graduated, that's when I got into, like, I took up wrestling full-time after that, but I've always been a fan. The bodybuilding thing was something that came because I was lifting weights and my body was responding. I was getting bigger and bigger. So I started training. I was 145 pounds. And by the time I graduated college, I was about 250, 255. So it was the bodybuilding thing was just me being a fan of both sports. But I was more so in love with wrestling than anything.
When WWE came up to you and told you Ezekiel Jackson is going to be your wrestling name, did you feel the name Ezekiel Jackson fit you as a WWE superstar?
It was first Ezekiel, and then the next week I think we added Jackson. Ezekiel, for me, being a Christian was awesome because I knew of the prophet Ezekiel. I knew of his life. So for me, it was cool for me because, like, man, I get to be, biblical, yet being a part of the WWE. So it definitely fit the character that I wanted to bring out, which ended up, you know, after I got to ECW, became the prophet of doom and that kind of different thing that Stryker used to refer to me as. So it kind of definitely fit it.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Big Rick, formerly known as Ezekiel Jackson. He's on my phone line. Big Rick, I want to ask you this question. We see in a few more weeks the Royal Rumble is coming. It's coming to Philadelphia. It's going to be 15 years of the pay-per-view of the event. And we're going to see 40 men. Will we see Ezekiel Jackson? Will we see you walking down that ramp? Will we see you be number 25, or am I speaking too much?
That's a wish and a star, I guess. if I jump ahead a bit, I just started with Lucha Underground, which is starting out here in L.A. There's been a few reports about it, so I've been focused on that more so than anything else, for the fact that it's right in L.A. It's something completely different, and I could drive home every night after I take the show.
We see you began your independent run. You began bookings for it. Can you tell us more information about that?
I'm working with Bill Barons also, and, I didn't really want to do it as much just because I was enjoying the time home with my family, but I do love to meet the fans and interact with fans, and I love to perform. So I'm available through Bill. My email is physique@gmail.com. I'm actually going to launch my fitness website within this week, which is www.physique.com, PHYSZEKE, which is all my Twitter and Facebook and all the different things. So it's something that I've sat back and thought about that I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to it, get a chance to go out there and travel and meet new people.
Big Rick, I'm really happy for you. I think it's great that you're able to take what you learned the past several years, everywhere you've been at, everywhere you traveled, and you're able to brand yourself. You're able to take what you learn and create your own company. And I think that's great. I see more people doing it. We've done it here, and I'm really happy for you.
It's you have to. Sadly, you can't depend on one thing anymore. From a business standpoint, you cannot depend on a single income anymore. You know, it's always something to have different things, different venues to earn. And that's what we do as performers. We're independent contractors, we're independents, and we try to earn as much as possible and in many different venues as possible. So it's a business venture.
So you are 36 years old, and 36 is a young age today, but when someone like yourself going to different companies, experiencing different projects, it might take a toll on your body. You are now on this independent run. Do you feel that you can show the fans that you are still healthy, you are still able to move forward and really give the fans what they want? That's one heck of a show.
Definitely. I've had three surgeries. One, I tore my quad in 2010. Then I tore my pec and rotator cuff in 2012. I had a hernia earlier this year, but that's a part of what we do. I train hard. I lift weights. I lift a ton of weights. I lift heavy. I train hard. I wrestle hard. I don't half-ass when I go in the ring. So your body's going to wear and tear. But at 36, I feel, I do as much cardio as I possibly can. I do a whole bunch of different training. I train the same today as I did maybe 10 years ago. Not 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I was stupid. All I cared about was lifting heavy, heavy, heavy weights. I no longer do that. Now is enough to get a good workout, stay healthy, and make sure I protect my joints. So I've learned over the past 15 years not to do things to destroy my body in the gym, but just enough to maintain or to, you know, I do a lot of different kind of stuff now to make sure that I'm more athletic now than I was when I was younger. So the training has changed. The mentality is still the same. I'm a young kid at heart, and I love what I do. So, you know, nothing, like right now, when I'm ready to stop, I'm going to just stop. Let's just leave it at, say it that way.
Right now, we are speaking with Big Rick, formerly known as Ezekiel Jackson. This is the last question I want to ask you. WWE recognizes you as the final ECW champion. ECW, Paul Heyman, WWE, later in the early 2000s, purchased them. How does it feel that people will remember you as the final ECW champion?
It's a twofold to that question. If you're an original ECW fan, you'll be told, they'll say, Rhino is the final champion. If you're a WWE ECW fan guy, you'll be like, man, I'm mad at you. You beat Christian, you know. So, but for me, it's history. I thank God that in the history books, I was a one-time world champion. I don't care what anybody says, you know what I mean? So, whether it's for 30 seconds or if you're optimistic, I've been a ECW champion for over 4 years because I haven't lost the title. So I'd be giving Bruno Sammartino a run for the money in a couple of years as one of the longest world champs. But, you know, I look at it as it was an opportunity that came. I took it. I had a blast. The final match against Christian, Mr. Regal was a part of it, and it was a great time. So, I can't. It's a part of my history, a part of my legacy that I've been blessed with.
Big Rick, formerly known as Ezekiel Jackson, thanks for coming on the program, and good luck with your future endeavors.
Cool, man. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Ezekiel Jackson, really thank him for coming on. Formerly WWE superstar, and we're really glad he can join us, and we hope to hear from him again.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show, every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.